I don't know about you, but when it comes to speaking the truth to others, piece of cake. But when it comes to speaking the truth in love, then it gets tough. If you'd like to learn how to speak the truth with boldness and with love, that's our topic on today's edition of Living on the Edge.
Well, welcome to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. In this program, Chip continues his series, Relationships Under Pressure, with a look at what feels like a waning ability these days, speaking the truth from a heart of love. On the face of it, that seems pretty daunting, doesn't it? But in typical Chip fashion, he's going to peel back the layers and get to the core of how it's done and why it's worth it. After the message, Chip will be with us here in studio to share some more personal thoughts on how all of this works, so be sure to stay with us for that. Well, now let's join him for his message, How to Speak the Truth in Love, from Romans chapter 15.
The best, the deepest, and the closest friends that I have or that I have ever had have one thing in common. They all have each loved me enough to tell me things about my life that no one else cared enough to say. When I measure friends, when I measure the people, when I lay in bed at night and look at the ceiling and think of the snapshots of, I mean, the people that have loved me, the people that I remember, they all have this one thing in common. They care enough, and they cared enough to say the things to me that put our relationship on the line. I can think of four encounters that changed the entire course of my life because someone loved me enough to speak the truth to me. The first was next to a water fountain. I was a Christian about 9 months or a year. I can tell you right where it was. The fellow's name was Jerry. I was a growing Christian with lots of struggles, and I just had gotten involved with a relationship with a non-Christian gal. And it was going in a direction that wasn't healthy, and it wasn't honoring God. And Jerry took me aside, and he put his arm on my shoulder, and he was walking from a Bible study, and he opened his Bible, he turned it to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and he says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." And you know what? I didn't like what he had to say, and I thought, who are you to tell me who I can date and who I can, and I don't really appreciate it. And I got alone, and I prayed, and he was right. And I think of where I would have been if I would have stayed in that relationship. Second was a fellow named John. Unfortunately, I can always remember where these happen. When you get loved deeply and it hurts, it kind of sticks with you. I was at a summer training program off of Ohio State's campus, and they were these double beds, and I just made my bed. And John came in, and it was cleared, and he gave me a 3x5 card. He says, "I've really been thinking about you, Chip. I've really been praying." And he was my team leader on this little project. And on the 3x5 card was two verses, Luke 16:15 and Galatians 1:10. And Luke 16:15 says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." And he turned to me and said, "Chip," he said, "you know, I think you're learning how to jump through all the right hoops in Christian circles, but I don't think you do it to please God. I think you do it to please people. I think you have a major problem with arrogance and pride in your life." And Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now a servant of God or a pleaser of people?" And it goes on. I'd like to have hit him. I mean, you talk about. And then I prayed about it. It was so painful because it was so true. The third was a fellow named Bill. Bill's gone home to be with the Lord. Integrity like few people I've ever met. He was an elder at Country Bible Church. I can tell you where I was. There's a little A-frame type pavilion right in front that we built on the front of that old building to keep the rain off. And it had cleared out after a Tuesday or a Wednesday night or some meeting. And Bill was a real big man. And he came up to me and said, "Well, God's doing something here, isn't he?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd been there about 2 or 3 years and things were growing." And, you know, in any church, there's some of this, but in a real small rural church, there's a lot of it. You know, the politics, about 80% of the people are related to one another in some way, somewhere, somehow. And everyone has an agenda and they want to see it grow. But as soon as the old timers see the newcomers come. And so I was really getting some pressure about what I was teaching on. And And he put his arm on my shoulder. And he looked me right in the eye. He said, Chip, I believe God wants to do something in your life. He said, you're at a crossroads that every young pastor comes to. He said, you're either going to say it like it is, and you're going to speak the truth, or you're going to cave in to the political pressure. He says, I can see it happening in the church. And this guy had been really around the block. He said, you're getting pulled here and pulled here and pulled here. And he said, you will either become just another person that tickles people's ears and you tell them what they want to hear, or you will stand up and be a man of integrity and preach and teach what you know is true, regardless of who it offends. And he said, I admonish you, don't cave in. Spent a couple nights pretty late on that one. The fourth one was another man named Bill. I was sitting in his office. My wife had just heard all these glowing reports about good things about her, and it was something Dallas Seminary had put on called LEAD, Leadership Evaluation Development, and a number of other pastors had been there. And so he talked about my wife, encouraged her, looked at her gifts and her profile, turned to me, and I think, oh, good, you know, this is good because she got such good reports. I'm ready for mine. And he looked at me, and he crossed his arms, and he'd known me for a long time. He said, Chip, you're lazy. He said, oh, I mean, you know, in other areas, in preaching, you're a lazy preacher. He said, I've looked at your tapes. He said, God's given you a lot of gift. You're not doing near with your gift what you could be doing. This is in front of my wife. I remember going home from LEAD and beginning to prepare messages like I'd never prepared my whole life. See, the first one was a relationship issue. The second one was a character issue. The third one was a ministry issue, and the last one was a giftedness issue. I don't know where I'd be without those four people loving me enough to say what would and did offend me. But because they cared, the entire course of my whole life has changed. It's an ancient truth found in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. It says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. How do we love one another? The one another's of the New Testament. Honor one another. Care for one another. Admonish one another. I believe that this particular one another, admonish one another, is the most neglected, the most misunderstood, the least practiced, and the most needed in the body of Christ. He gives us a critical command. It's found in Romans chapter 15, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, the context is awesome. He just talked in chapter 14, don't judge one another in these gray areas, in these extra biblical issues. And then in chapter 15, he talks about relationships, and then in verse 14, he says, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are, one, full of goodness, two, filled with all knowledge, and three, why? Then you're able to admonish one another. He said, don't judge one another, and here's the point. Admonishing one another is not judging one another. Judging is when I see something in your life that disagrees with my opinion. Admonishing is when I see something in your life or you see something in my life that doesn't align with Scripture, and I come to you or you come to me and we honestly speak the truth because we care that you get the very best, that you become all God wants you to become. Now I realize, even right now, you should see your faces. This is like the hair has gone up on the back of some of your necks like, oh no. You're not going to say, we got to do this. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you that's what God says. And so what I want to do is explain what is admonishment. I want to talk about how to do it. I want to talk about why we need to do it. Because it is one of the most powerful, powerful things that ever happens in the life of a believer. So what is it? Definition, it's to exert influence upon another by life and word, to guide him or her into obedience of God's will as revealed in Scripture. Basically, this word means telling it like it is. Not blaming other people, helping people take responsibility to see where their life is not lining up with Scripture. This is what admonition is not. Five things it's not. One, it is not judging another's life who does not conform to your standards. It is responsively caring enough to help another brother or sister see where his life or her life is not conforming to the absolutes of Scripture. Secondly, or second misconception, it is not a superior or the spiritual person talking down to the inferior, unspiritual person. It is equal to equal, brother to brother, sister to sister, save sinner to save sinner, in love saying, I care so much, I can't let you experience less than God's best. Third, it is not loading your spiritual shotgun and blasting God's people with pellets of correction. You know, stick those six guns on and you know what? I think this is a ministry for me. I'm just going to look around and just blow people away. No. It is being sensitive to God's Spirit and the lives of others and not allowing things to remain the way they are simply because you fear rejection. You know the sad thing here? And we're all guilty. The sad thing here is that what we don't go and tell the person that really needs to hear it, when we see a marriage drifting apart, when we see one of their kids really getting out of line, when we somewhat see one of our brothers and sisters spending money in a way that doesn't make sense, when we see things come out of people's mouth and you think, boy, that's danger. Isn't it sad that instead of loving them enough to go tell them, we have the courage to go tell someone else? That's an indictment. Anytime we share something with someone else that is not a part of the problem or the solution, the Bible has a name for it. Gossip. Flip it over, it's called slander if it's not true. That's not what we're talking about. Fourth, it is not making general or veiled statements to a group, hoping that the one you want to hear it will catch the message. You ever seen this happen? Amazing, isn't it? Instead, admonishment is personal in nature and directed to the individual. We'll look at passages where the Apostle Paul will say, I said to each one of you. Fifth, it is not a one-time shot, and if they don't respond, well, I've done my duty. It must be persistent and increasing in intensity if it's to be effective. Jot down, if you will, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Don't have time to develop an interesting word study where the Apostle Paul, talking about this discipling process of admonishment, first of all, he gives you the background that it comes out of a heart of love. And then he uses three different words where he says, we encouraged you, then we exhorted you, and then we urged you. And if you studied each one of those words very carefully, they go up in intensity. And they're very personal. In other words, when people don't catch it the first time, he said, whatever it takes, I'm going to bring about the vice of intensity so that they get it. Well, this sounds kind of hard, doesn't it? Maybe we could skip over this one. Let's major on honoring one another, loving one another, building up one another. I mean, do we really have to do this? But already some of you are thinking, oh, it's Bob, it's Mary, it's my coworker. I got to talk to my wife. You know what? We've got to sit down and talk with one of our kids. Or, you know what? We're involved in ministry with someone already. Or I've got a close friend and, you know, she or he. And so right about now, your resistors are going up. You're trying to rationalize as you listen with one ear, you're rationalizing with the other ear, how can I get out of this? I don't want to do this, right? So let me give you some biblical ammunition and some rationale why it's the most loving thing you'll ever do for another person. Why must we admonish one another? First, this is pretty simple. It is a command. Colossians 3:16. We're to be filled with the Word of God, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How? Why? So everyone matures in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, admonish, it's a command, the idle. Warn those who are unruly. Second reason is because we all have blind spots. Psalm 19:12, very interesting prayer. David's praying. And as he prays there, he just stops and he says, oh God, forgive me for all my sins. And then he says, and those sins I don't know about, those presumptuous ones, those ones that I don't even know I have, forgive those too. Do you realize you have those? I mean, you can sit before God, be totally open to God, and yet because of the way your psyche and your denial and your mind and all the struggles you have and I have, there are areas in your life that are not aligned at all with Scripture. They're in juxtaposition to what is true and what is right, and you don't see it. And so David prays, God, forgive me for even those. In Psalm 139, 23, and 24, he actually prays, Lord, search me and know me, test me, reveal. If there's anything in my heart that doesn't align with you, if there's any wicked way, any evil way, would you show me? Because we don't always get it. And a blind spot, I mean a blind spot. I don't mean that you're trying to resist, you're trying not to see it. I mean, you can't see it. One of the pivotal points in my whole marriage was married less than a year. And I'm working full time and going to school full time, and we just have Eric and Jason, they're both about 7. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm really busting it, and I'm really gonna treat the family. Coco's back then, for 99 cents, kids could eat a whole meal. You know, 2 eggs, bacon, and that's all we could afford. So they could do that, and we could split a sandwich for under 10 bucks, get out of the place. And I mean, that's about as much we could ever afford to go out to eat. And so I'm thinking, I'm really a pretty neat guy. Taking my family out to eat, I'm working full time, I'm going to school, and really trying to love my wife. You know, I'm listening to Howard Hendricks about how to be a better husband. So anyway, my wife's sitting on this corner and the kids are now coloring. Remember those days? And she turns to me and she said, you don't love me, do you? Excuse me, honey. My hearing aid must be off or something. And I don't wear one. What? You don't love me, do you? I'm thinking, she went and got a lobotomy this morning. There's no one I love more, you know? And then this was my first experience. I've shared this with those who've been around. This was my first experience. Then she talked about the carpet and the drapes and the leaky faucet and the stuff that was piled out the door and the shambles that apparently from her perspective our apartment was in. I mean, what in the world does your house, fixing up your house, have to do with loving your wife? I mean, this was new material. I mean, this is not like, oh, I know you ought to do that as a good husband and I don't get it. Blind spot. Now, let me ask you, what's yours? Wonder what it is that's keeping a roadblock in maybe one of the most intimate, important relationships in your life. You don't see it. Do you realize that part of God's plan is someone else will see it? And if you could be open, if you could be tender to the Spirit's work, He will reveal that not only through His Word, but through another person and love you enough to bring about major life change. Tell you what, that turned our marriage around. About put me in the grave getting there, but it turned our marriage around. Third reason, not only is it a command, not only because of blind spots, but to become godly, holy, mature Christians. Great vision passage, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. It says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we might present every man, every woman, every person complete in Christ. And Paul says, for this reason, I labor or work or struggle or agonize, literally. It's an athletic term. Striving according to his power that mightily works within me. Proclaim, evangelism. Once a person comes to Christ, teaching, information, then admonishing, correcting. Those three things have to happen for you to grow and for me to grow. You'll never become a mature Christian if you can't hear God speak through other people.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip will be back in just a minute with his application. Chip's message today is from his series, Relationships Under Pressure, Keeping It Together When the World's Falling Apart. In this series, you'll learn common lies we all tend to believe about ourselves and others, lies that wreck relationships. You'll discover the causes of conflict and get practical help for restoring damaged relationships. If you or someone you know could use a little relationship wisdom, this series is for you. To see more detail or to order this set of messages called Relationships Under Pressure, just tap Special Offers on the app or visit us online at livingontheedge.org.
I'll be right back in just a minute with some final thoughts about today's message. But you know, in light of the things that we talked about today, I just want to acknowledge that some of the most painful conflicts and difficult relationship experiences we have is with our adult children. No matter how much you love God, no matter how good your family is, when our children become adults, things change. Yes, they're to honor us, but they don't obey us anymore. And we go from, you know, when they're small to telling them what to do,
to negotiating when they're teens, and then we launch them, and then a lot of things change. Of all the things we've heard at Living on the Edge, in terms of where are the needs, we've heard over and over, will you help us with our adult children? Such conflicts, such changes in values, such problems that people don't have answers to. That's why I teamed up with parenting expert Jim Burns to create a resource called How to Navigate Life with Your Adult Children. Jim and I discuss principles that will empower and equip you as a parent when you struggle with those delicate relationships when your kids are now adults. We're going to talk about control issues. We'll talk about when to speak and when to keep your mouth shut. This is a resource I think that's really going to help you.
Well, one of the most fulfilling gifts we can enjoy as parents is a great relationship with our adult children, where we respect and enjoy each other so much that we actually look forward to spending time together. So the whole aim of this online video course called How to Navigate Life with Your Adult Children is to give you the practical tools you need to successfully build those kinds of relationships with your kids. It's absolutely free. It's 6 sessions with Chip and Jim Burns, and you can do them at your own pace whenever you want. So I hope you'll get it on the app or go to livingontheedge.org and take advantage of this great resource. You're going to be glad you did. Now here's Chip with a final thought.
In the body of Christ, we learn today that we are commanded to admonish one another. We don't use that word much. It means to warn, to counsel, to correct, to instruct, to remind, to reprove, to even rebuke. And I don't know about you, but I hate that. I hate it when someone does it to me, and I hate it when I know I'm supposed to do it. Now, in the long term, as I shared in today's message, I love it. I mean, the people who have loved me the most are the people who love enough to put the relationship on the line and speak the truth to me. In our next broadcast, we're going to talk very specifically about what it doesn't mean to admonish, and we're going to give you some very specific ways to do it. But today I want to ask you a penetrating question that I'd like you to allow the Holy Spirit to just whisper in your ear if there's a situation that you need to address. Is there someone, maybe in your family, maybe in your church, maybe a fellow believer at work, is there someone whose lifestyle, whose attitudes are clearly out of bounds that's going to bring destruction? You know it's going to bring pain to him or to her or to their future or their family or the church. And I mean, you see it. It's absolutely clear. You've actually talked with someone else about, you know, if so-and-so doesn't shape up or if that behavior continues, but you've never told them. Is someone coming to your mind right now? You see, admonishment is often God's kind of antiseptic in the body of Christ. It kills the bacteria of sin that erodes into relationships and brings eventual destruction. And what it really takes is not a lot of how-to as much as it takes courage and love. And I want to end today's program by just bringing before you the reality that you may be the chosen instrument of God to lovingly confront someone about their speech or their behavior or their attitude with the opposite sex or what they're viewing or how they're treating their mate or how they're raising their kids, and it's sensitive and it could blow up and it could go south on you. But you could be quiet and destruction could occur. Is there someone that God wants you to admonish? And if so, why don't you start praying today for the courage? Set a date in your mind. Get some counsel and help if you need it. But let's love one another to admonish.
Just before we close, would you pray for people who heard God's word and are struggling right now? Anytime we're prompted to bring our actions into alignment with the Holy Spirit, we experience an inner battle. Obey or ignore what he's putting on our heart. So would you take a second and pray for them? And if you're the one who's being prompted, you have more people than you know praying for you to step out in faith. You're not alone. Well, thanks for being with us. And until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.